Hello and welcome to the March 27th edition of the NAREIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bork from Quito, and joining me today from CBRE are Richard Barkham, Global Chief Economist, and Julie Whelan, Head of Occupier Research. Julie and Richard, welcome to you both.
Thank you.
So, Richard, before we talk about the impact of COVID-19 on real estate markets, can you give us an overview of the broader economic impact you're seeing right now?
Yes, if I were to summarize my views, they would be brutal in the short term, but positive in the medium term. We think that GDP in the United States would have contracted by 6.3% in Q1, and we think it will contract by a whopping 20% in Q2. But thereafter in Q3 and Q4, the story becomes a little bit more positive because the effects of the economic stimulus, which is huge by any historic standard, and could amount up to 25% of US GDP, and the natural forces of pent-up demand, we feel will drive a recovery from Q3 onwards. Implicit in that is the assumption that the virus, the rate of new infections begins to fall in mid to late April, and some of the lockdown and intrusive control measures start to ease from mid-May onwards. But it's going to be a rough Q2, I think, both in terms of GDP loss and, more importantly, a spike in unemployment, which we see as encapsulating maybe 8 million jobs lost, net jobs lost. The stimulus package is going to work very hard at preserving jobs, particularly in the small and medium-sized enterprise sector, but nevertheless, it's going to be pretty rough over Q2. And to be sure, we haven't even entered Q2 yet, so it'll get dark before it gets bright. But we're looking to an improved second half and a very strong 2021.
And Julie, going into this crisis, REITs and commercial real estate were seeing strong earnings, strong balance sheets. To what extent will this help in the days ahead?
Yeah, so fundamentals were very strong going into this turmoil. Just to recap on a few of the key statistics, job growth was very strong. As of February 2020, we had experienced 113 consecutive months of job growth. Office demand, as a result, surpassed any kind of new supply that we had coming on, especially for full year 2019. This trend did reverse a little bit in Q4, but we did end up the total year having demand surpass new supply, which was great. Vacancy rates from a real estate perspective were lower than they had been in almost 20 years, and rents were growing quickly. So everything looked really good, and tenants were very, very focused on using their workplace to actually drive employee engagement. And what this was creating was a flight to quality, where a higher amount of tenants than usual were relocating to new, more modern office space. And often that space was in the form of new construction or regentrified space. Now, what was interesting about that is that despite the desire for new space, new construction activity had remained really conservative compared to past growth cycles. So real estate wasn't only benefiting from the significant growth in the economy, but it was also benefiting from a more disciplined cycle. So all of that together has set us up to weather this storm that we're in quite well, because of the discipline that we had leading up to this. And it's important to remember that from an office perspective, we're somewhere in the middle of the pack. We're not getting hit quite as hard as retail. We may not have as much of a tailwind behind us as industrial might, but we are definitely somewhere in the middle of the pack in terms of not being affected to a great extent from this crisis.
And turning to the capital markets, Richard, where would you say the biggest pain points for commercial real estate exist right now?
I think pain points would be overstating it. I mean, it's true, I think, that capital markets have paused as investors take stock of the economic circumstances. Although I would say, interestingly enough, in our industrial sector, that some deals are continuing to push through. I think we see that the industrial sector is obviously going to take a short-term hit because of the through flow of goods from Asia is a little bit hiccuped, but this is the crisis has definitely been a nudge in the direction of more e-commerce. So the fundamentals in industrial are pretty strong, and I think investors are continuing to pursue assets in that sector. I would say also that, you know, many lenders have become more conservative, but unlike the financial crisis, we haven't seen the debt markets freeze up. There are still some lenders out there willing to lend. And in the equity capital markets, I would say that the institutional capital has paused to take stock of the economics. And so, you know, I think the overall the level of transactions will probably be, you know, materially down in Q2 and probably Q3 as well. And whether assets trade or not, that implies a small increase in cap rates. But we see that probably coming in relatively quickly. Capital markets always tend to recover in ahead of leasing markets. So, you know, we see this slowdown persisting for 3 to 6 months. But thereafter, as the trajectory of the disease and also the stimulus works in, capital markets will tend to strengthen towards the end of the year.
And are there certain federal stimulus measures that you think are more important for commercial real estate?
Well, I think the whole the emphasis of getting cheap loans to the small and busiest small and medium-sized business sector, and then turning those loans into grants if small and medium-sized businesses hold on to their employees, is just a very creative and positive measure. It's those small and medium-sized enterprises, particularly in the food and beverage industry, but also in retailing, that are bearing the brunt of this crisis. So the aim of the stimulus to provide support to small and medium-sized enterprises, and indeed actually to the larger enterprises in sectors which are struggling, like aviation, and then also to use some of the stimulus in the central bank to unlock liquidity, so that companies that are struggling a little bit on the cash flow side can have access to cheap loans quickly. All of this acts to preserve what we call in economics the supply side. So that prevents this drop in demand, this very abrupt drop in demand, damaging the supply side on the economy too much. Now, obviously, there will be some damage, but I think those measures to preserve employment and keep businesses intact for what is going to be a short, sharp shock are very helpful, and very helpful for real estate as well, because ultimately it's all about those businesses and the rent they pay that drive the system.
And turning to the property sectors that you've both mentioned already, if we could maybe start with hotels, will that industry look quite different post-crisis?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's far too early in any case to talk about long-term trends. I mean, I think that industry, the figures are, prior to the crisis, the occupancy rate was about 65%. The occupancy rate has dropped to 10%. So that industry, more than any other, is in the firing line here. Now, and it will recover. It recovered after the great financial crisis, recovered after SARS. But the recovery period is reasonably long. It'll take maybe 12 to 18 months to fully recover. We think occupancy rates will be up close to about 50% by the end of the year. But long-term shifts, I would be inclined to say that, you know, the long-term trends that pre-existed the crisis are likely to kind of reassert themselves, albeit I think at the building level, and this would be true for the workplace as well as the hotels. You know, there is obviously going to be greater emphasis on cleaning protocols, hygiene, and just kind of making sure that protocols are in place so that these kinds of diseases can't spread. That is a clear, and it might affect things like the kind of furniture that is used and the carpeting over time, but not really fundamental changes.
And are there other sectors that you're particularly watching right now in terms of how they will adapt to the crisis?
Well, I mean, I think I talked about it earlier. One of the sectors which was growing very strongly prior to the crisis was e-commerce in the area of food retailing. And I think that with people self-isolating and working at home, that trend towards home delivery of foods has got a very positive nudge. So maybe there are some implications there for parts of retailing that were grocery anchored. I mean, it is hard to be very specific about that because many parts of society actually don't like to eat food that they buy in a box. They prefer to buy fresh food. But nevertheless, I think an uptick in cold storage sector, uptick in logistics, and some implications for food for grocery retail.
And Julie, do you think this crisis could really alter the way we work in the future?
Just as Richard spoke about, there were trends that were happening, pre-COVID crisis that were already showing pretty distinctly in the numbers that we already are working differently. So we had studied the growth of American workers according to where they worked from 2004 to 2018. And although it was only a small subset of employees that reported that they either usually worked at home or conducted some of their work at home, it was the highest growth cohort since 2004. So for instance, 79% of respondents that reported that they usually worked from home, there was a 79% growth in them from 2004 to 2018, which is pretty distinct and interesting. Now, I think that coming out of this crisis, people will feel more comfortable remote working. I think that there were a lot of companies that were underprepared going into this that are now arming their workforce with the tools that they need very quickly to get up and running. And I think that that will last post-COVID. I'm not suggesting that people are going to work remotely 100%. I think that if anything, this has all told us that the need for collaboration and communication and socialization is really important. But they will absolutely now be more comfortable integrating remote work into their week, and it will become more common, and therefore will be less dependent on the office, I think is the best way to put it. And so we have always promoted that the office needs to be a preferred place of work because people have the ability to work from anywhere at any time. And I think that notion of making the office a more preferred place through the way that it's designed, the way that it's furnished, the technology that you get access to, and now increasingly how healthy it is and how safe you feel in that environment will be extremely important going forward.
Okay, great. Richard and Julie, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
And to our listeners, for the latest on the impact of the coronavirus on REITs and listed real estate, be sure to visit REIT.com.